Here we go.
They call themselves the
Heroes Asylum.
Uno Morons.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum Part 2.
Yay! If you look at it, we've only been gone for... What year is this?
Yeah, exactly. So, I think it's been about 2 years since we've been gone. So
our extended vacation.
Mike had some issues. So, but we are back, feeling better, doing better,
and I'm re-energized, man. I am ready to go. Like I think I needed that break a little bit. I think we both did, because we were running gunning for a long time, and then you know, like things just happened, and we just kind of like faded out, and we had to grow to love it again. That's the way I look at it. I had to grow to like it, because there's some stuff out there that we just did not like, and it was nothing fun. Like, the movies weren't fun, books weren't fun, nothing was fun.
Very true,
until Daredevil.
Daredevil. That's really what's kind of, like, reignited it. And with that thought, we're doing something different. We're born again, in a way, so the theme... This month, I guess, our first few are going to be sort of like rebirth episodes where we talk about things that reignited, like, you know, our love of, you know, movies or music or comics, you know. So, because again, we're in a rebirth cycle ourselves.
Yeah, so it's fitting, you know, like you wanted to start with Daredevil. I guess let's just start there. Daredevil. Born Again premiered this week, 2-episode run. I was a little hesitant because I love the Daredevil on Netflix. I know you did as well, Mike. So like it was hesitancy. I was like, yes, but I don't know. Turn on the first episode, and if you're not hooked in the first 10 minutes, I don't know what you're doing. Because that first 10 minutes, I'm gonna borrow somebody's term, was spellbinding. That's the way I'll say it. It's a spell. Like what? So, Mike, what do you think? I mean, let's just start with that opening 10 minutes.
It was a great reminder of what was before. I have things to say, but,
you can say it here. Safe.
I mean, I love the fact of seeing the original cast back together. I feel typical Disney MCU fashion. They bait and switched us. You know, they did the, using wrestling term, they did the swerve on us, you know, because all the interviews you had, you know, you had everybody talking about coming back. Oh, I'm so happy to be back, you know, and like, yet they're not, if you haven't seen it yet. So yeah, spoiler alerts, by the way, if anybody's not seen it yet.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it by now, you're not going to watch it. So
yeah. Well, it took me a little bit. I had to finish watching it today.
I've seen both episodes back to back now. Probably about 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, that's how good I think it is. And like, to segue off what you said, to me, like, that opening was basically, you have everything in the Netflix series. You had Josie's, you had the bar, you had like literally the same group of people. It's a retirement party. You know, they're all getting along. The law firm, like Nelson, Page, and Murdoch is open. They're getting a beer. And it's the same, like the same Netflix feel that you had before. It had that feel, that vibe. But then once you see the little crosshairs in the glove of Mr. Bullseye, that's when it all changed from there.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, I just, again, I think it's like it is a wrestling swerve because, like, I mean, and I understand what they're doing from a story point of view. This had to happen. But at the same time, I felt it as though it was Disney's way of saying that don't worry about that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. We're going to wipe all that out. That means nothing anymore. You know, and then it picking up a year later, which he gives it even further distance from, you know, from that.
Yeah, you're correct. Like, literally those first 10 minutes, like, hey, guys, you like the Netflix stuff? Here it is.
And we're going to kill it off.
Kill it off.
We're going to kill what brought you here.
Yeah, like literally, I thought they were going to kill Karen too, but I was like, okay, at least she's, well, they wrote her out.
Yeah, one of our friends, because he was trying to talk to me about it, and I hadn't really seen it yet, and then he made a statement that made me think both were killed off, but how, and I kind of feel like she's, again, it's just another way of them trying to separate themselves from the Netflix show is not have her there. There's no reason for her not to be there. The story of her not being there is kind of silly.
Yeah, it is dumb. Like they didn't explain it. Like I'm in San Francisco. Why?
I mean they sort of did because of how Matt reacted, and I guess he distanced himself for like a week or 2 weeks after Foggy's death. And I was like, that connection that him and Karen had were, I thought was closer. Like that wouldn't have separated anybody.
I mean, that was a little odd. Like, you know, hey, I when somebody dies, everybody needs a little time. You know, that's happened, you know, in our circles and everywhere we go. Like, it's just, you need like a week, 2 weeks. I don't know however long you're going to need them. But to like say like, okay, you were distant for like 2 weeks and then I wanted to talk, but no, I'm going to San Francisco. Like what?
Yeah. Just kind of.
I thought you guys were closer to that. You guys almost banged. I mean,
I know that first like 5 minutes there was like, are they going back to like, you know, go at it?
It's like, hey, man, let's go back to my place. Like, whoa, Matt Murdock is the biggest pimp in the Marvel universe, though. So, hey.
That's what I was like. Wait a second. What about Jen? I mean, did Jen mean nothing? I mean, She-Hulk kind of was.
Yeah, he was banging She-Hulk. So yeah. He's going to just.
And that's kind of, I guess, I don't know. Maybe you caught it. I didn't. Where is this in the timeline? Like, he's obviously doesn't have his brown and yellow suit. He's in the classic red. So like, when did She-Hulk take place? Like, is that?
I think it's before.
Think it's before?
Yeah, I think all that was before.
Like She-Hulk like was before, like during his morning time. But again, he was a year without, you know, without him. So that's what I'm saying. There's a little fuzz on when this takes place.
I think. The She-Hulk stuff was done 6 months before you see the opening first 10 minutes. That's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I think that's my rule. Like, it's like all that stuff in She-Hulk happened. This is 6 months later, I think, was Josie. Then obviously we go to a year later, which, you know, Matt's sitting there making some eggs. And then he hears his buddy, the TV, Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
He's back. Ugh. I don't know about you. I just like seeing those two on screen together.
Yeah, the diner scene was great because it's like they're both like going, I know who the hell you are, you know, we know what we've done, very heavily influenced in the political circles of now, like through I mean extremely I lean one way and like that's a lot of fucking like flags going on there and.
Well, when we like another series, what was it? The Boys, season 4. Remember we talked about it for a while, like how long they did the political innuendo for years, and then season 4 is like, screw it, we're just gonna go balls to the walls.
This is what they were doing there. Yeah, I was like, oh my god, it's like I get you do want to take, you know, what's happening in the world and bring it in because that helps the story connect with the viewer or whoever you are.
It adds more realism to it.
Yeah, it makes you connect more and ground you a little bit more into it. But like how much it was, I was like, holy crap. Now, question for you. Now, this is again kind of going on with that timeline. I think it was episode 2 when Fisk is driving around and they run into the massive Hulk-shaped pothole.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I was like, wait a second. This is obviously something that recently happened. Yeah, was this from Captain America? Or was this again? It's like, I mean, you can't deny what it was. I mean,
I don't know. See, I can have a timeline for the She-Hulk stuff, but the thing in the pot, I don't know. That's a good question.
And we did have reference to Spider-Man.
Yep, the guy in a spider outfit or whatever.
The white, I love like the fact that we haven't really seen more of it, or I guess we sort of have, but like the white tiger, like at the beginning of the news clip.
I like the fact that they showed it on TV, and it wasn't like you see him in the background like in some kind of bodega in New York City. He's getting to like a fight, beating the crap out of people. I don't know about the whole amulet thing, but seeing bronze tiger fight, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
We're here now. We're doing bronze tiger.
Well, I thought they referred to him as the White Tiger in this one.
I thought it was Bronze Tiger. Is it White Tiger?
I thought I heard. I'll have to go back. You saw it twice, so I'll go with your.
I'm gonna say it was. I think I heard Bronze Tiger.
Okay, I guess I did. You saw it more than me, so.
I did, dude. That's how much I love those episodes. And that diner scene to me, like, this was the tipping point of everything. It's just like when you read a comic and you see those two panels and internal monologue with like two characters are just talking back and forth, you can visualize in your head how they're talking. To me, when I saw that scene, I was like, wow, that's a comic right there. Like sitting there, like both of their viewpoints. And the beginning of it was like, hey, like they were old friends. Like, hey, man, I kind of missed you. Hey, man, how you doing? Look, moving up in the world. He's like, yeah, I tried to mentor somebody. He's like, didn't she shoot you in the face? Like,
yeah, again, stuff. Yeah. They referenced.
It was Echo.
They referenced Echo to God. What was it? Drawing a blank now. The Hawkeye series.
Okay.
Yeah, the end. So they kind of referenced that. I mean, I like the referencing. So we're getting an idea, like unlike what it was before. I think they only mentioned the green guy. In the Netflix series, and I think that was like season one, and then after that, it was just
they didn't mention.
But you got to realize also at the time Netflix was out, there was nothing in the local, the New York area other than the big fight, which like I said, I know they were kind of referenced that, but you didn't have the local heroes, you didn't have the Hawkeyes, you didn't have a Spider-Man yet.
Oh,
you know when that when that show rolled out, so. You did have the Defenders, which I really wish they would. I'm sure they won't. I know they're at least bringing in Punisher, and I think didn't they announce that he's getting like a one off?
Yeah, he's getting like a Marvel special,
like what they did with the Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night, which I liked a lot. So they're doing with Punisher. I was like, ooh.
And the grittiness, I know they're able to do it now because I've seen it with. That was my other concern was, you know, this is a real gritty. World that they're in. They're, you know, this is the dirty side of comics, you know.
Literally.
Yeah.
And the way that that episode kind of progressed, you saw a lot of the Netflix influences on there, like at the ground at street level. What I like, I'm not sure if you caught this, so it was when they had the up close up personal interviews with the people on the streets. It kind of made him feel more real, like, hey, you know, Daredevil's been gone for a while, somebody's got to do something, like just having like dudes out of the crowd like talking to them. That's something that would really happen in New York. You see them getting interviewed all the time.
Well, remember the Avengers, the end of the Avengers. Remember how that just before they did the whole credit thing, they were talking to the waitress that, you know, Steve saved and talking to Stan and they were talking to the local and it threw me off at first because I have the commercials on my Disney. And so I was like, is this something different? What's this an ad for? Because it was shot differently and it just completely threw me off. I'm like, hey, what is that? And then I think the other thing I love, and I haven't really, I got to look at the credits and see who this is, but the cinematographer, the shots are literally ripped from Born Again. Like there's a scene where he's like right in front of the church. Like a lot of the imagery of the church is ripped right off the books, which I thought was really cool that they did that.
I love the use of lighting. You notice the lighting in some of the scenes where it has like Fisk in the background. Like you'll see Fisk on the building, kind of like his backdrop, and see this humongous man looking over the city. Basically, you know, I'm going to rule this city now. And then you had Matt. He's walking out of a frame. And it's like red lighting in the background. Mm-hmm. He has like a face red and half face black. And I was like, that's a nice little touch there.
I think like at the beginning when they were doing the fight scene in the bar and we couldn't keep track of where who was. If you noticed, there was red in the haze of, and it wasn't a shot. I know Bullseye was shooting people, but it was the red of where Matt was in a way. And I love what they're doing. I don't remember this from the show, but the audio is different when Matt's in a scene. I don't know if that's something that's new because I was going to try to rewatch it before this came out and just kind of ran out of time. I didn't have, you know, couldn't squeeze it in. But yeah, I just noticed on this one that like whenever Matt's in the room, you know, in a scene, things are a little different. You'll hear conversations really far away that have nothing to do with what's going on. And then sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the last time is. You watch Netflix?
Well, I didn't. Well, it's been a while since I watched
it. Okay, so yeah, so we're both on the same page. Okay.
I canceled my Netflix a while ago. Sorry. I just got to a point where I had it for so long that it just no longer had. There was nothing on there. Like, I could watch like other streaming services. Sorry, Netflix, but like I could watch like a Tubi, Shudder, like stuff like that has entertaining movies like more than Netflix does. At least at the moment.
I did get that way too. I'm on my Netflix run again, but it's primarily because of Raw. You know, when I do get a chance and I remember and I'm available, I can watch Raw and it's right there. And I think I'm on like a $3 deal or something right now. I'm not even thinking about the price of it. You know,
it is what it is. But to get back to that scene where Matt is fighting Bullseye in Josie's, I love the fact that they kept the one shot fighting going on. Like it just kept focusing on them as they're panning back, and you can see that fight, how visceral it was, especially when they get to the stairwell. I don't know what it is with Daredevil and like close like hallway type scenes. They always do great. And the beginning part that I liked is when Bullseye staggered, he's walking up the stairs. You see Matt use the nunchucks or whatever. I forgot what it's called that he uses his main weapon. It's like a grappling hook. I'm sure you'll figure it
out. The baton thing that he's got, the baton,
whatever it's called. I'm sure somebody will. But he throws it and he throws all the lights off so he can like adapt his senses to the room and the fight. And as he's fighting Bullseye, you see all these knives in him. Which I thought was like, this is.
They kind of did that during She-Hulk. Remember the scene where they finally got together and they were, and he's like, there's this many people in the hall. There's this many in this room here. And she's like, oh, I can take care of that. He goes, oh, no, I got it. And that was that. I think they shot that also in that one shot, just going down the hall backwards. They might have. You know, and there's been a few that I know they did, because that was one of the big things in Netflix because of that, like what you were saying, that close quarter. Yeah, fighting scenes,
like, you know, to compare it to like another fighting type franchise, John Wick has like the one they do fighting scenes, they're mostly outer open like this, they're not as close shot. But Daredevil has kind of mastered the way of like doing the very close shot fightings.
Well, you're going from guns to you know, close quarter combat, so yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, if Daredevil had a gun, then we would probably see more of that John Wick style fighting, or if John Wick fought more often that way.
Yeah, well, he's not going to do
it. Yeah, I mean, he's got it. What do they call it? Gunkata?
Gunkata, yeah.
So, I mean, that's the style that fits him. But, yeah, like the cinematography is always tight. And I think that's probably why they brought some of the ones back from
I think that a lot of them, yeah, you can tell they came from the Netflix. So they used to borrow some of them. And if you notice the music, too, in the beginning, they kept, like, the old Daredevil theme in there. But they kind of just like made it more, I don't know what the word is in music. They kind of make it more glorious sounding. Like it's not as din in it. It's like din in it. You can hear it. And the beginning intros, we didn't even talk about the intro.
Was that the original or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the intro to begin is theirs. But you notice during when they're playing the intro, you hear the old theme.
Yeah.
It's there. But it's just not as like as low as it was. It's more like glorified. Like,
oh, music. I mean, you got to realize you're going from Netflix to Disney.
Yeah, the production value. Yeah,
production values is going to go up. But that's what I was worried about. I was like, I don't want it to go too far up. It still needs to stay more grounded and feel like it is, you know, shot kind of almost guerrilla style.
I thought it still felt grounded.
Oh, it did. Yeah, that's why I was happy with what I saw.
Like the ending of episode one with that, it just felt like, to compare it to music terms, it felt like CBGBs in the 70s punk. It felt like that punk era type of just like grounded, gritty feel. I was like, yes, yes. It took what I love from Netflix. They added some Disney-fied stuff, which is okay, some of it. But like the first two episodes, that first episode, like just give me more.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. This is one of those ones. And this happens with every Disney episode or a Disney show I watch for MCU. I'm waiting for more because they always catch you. They'll put the hook in. But then episode two wasn't so.
Yeah.
Wasn't there.
They start strong.
But I can see what they're doing with their storyline already. I'm waiting for the twist. Again, we know we've joked about this years ago. I've Feige would give Vince McMahon a run for his money, or now Triple H, a run for his money on great epic swerves. Because you think it's going one way, and he can just twist you around and go to a whole nother. And that's why I'm waiting, because right now it's pretty standard what I see that they're doing. You know, the whole term born again, and seeing both him and Fisk being reborn into different roles. You know, he is now, you know, the more down and out. Fisk is coming up. You know, and yeah. So yeah, I'm kind of like, okay, I see where this story can go, but I know there's that little twist that you'll always see.
I think they're going to end up working together, because there's like another villain. I think Muse. I don't know too much about Muse. He's new, but he's supposed to be like some sort of serial killer who like paints murals of all the deaths he does. I've never read about him until somebody said like, oh yeah, Muse is going to be the villain. Like, who the hell is Muse? And like the band Muse?
I don't know if I'd see them working together. I mean, I know like Fisk loves New York. I mean, that's always been a thing, but he's still Kingpin. And the fact that they even said that to him, the commissioner said that at the graveyard.
That dude, that commissioner has like some of the biggest balls in the world, dude. Like, because everybody on that series or show, when it comes to Kingpin, they're afraid of him. Like when he walked in, he came back to see Vanessa. Another great scene with the tracksuit mafia there. He walks in, nobody says anything, and they all freaking leave.
Mm-hmm.
That one commissioner, he just kept yapping. He's like, you coming over here to the graveyard? He's like, I had nothing to do with the cops. He's like, yeah, maybe not this one. He's like, but you filled a whole grave full of cops in here. And he just kept like dogging him the whole time. Like, damn, you gonna take that?
That and I'm kind of curious with I don't remember her name, but basically the love interest who is now the therapist for the Fisks, which kind of threw a little Sopranos vibe into that.
That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, is Tony? We're going for like the Sopranos thing. Like, I got a weird feeling that therapist is going to bite it. I don't know why.
I'm on that I'm on that fence too. I was like, let's not get too attached to that person. That character's not going to be around for too long. I think
Matt's love interest, they don't tend to last too long. If you read any of the comics, they bad things happen to them. He never can maintain a healthy relationship. I think Elektra was probably the healthiest, and she's another psycho too. So it's just like Matt can pick him. But I loved everything about that, man. It's just when we get to episode 2, we see a lot of the stuff happening now. Like, what's going to be the plot now? And basically, what do? You make it about a cop killing, you know, and you know, the guy in the basement or the gold tiger, Brown's tiger, he gets involved. Cop gets hit by a train. And then we go from there. And the court scene where you can see like the corruption that's going on in the New York City, the police department during this time. You know, kind of eerily, some similar other things, comic runs, maybe TV shows, but it shows how strong that police unity is in New York City, where Matt's like talking and he's like, nope, denied. Now you're done.
Yeah. Doesn't even give him a chance.
Didn't give him a chance.
I'm interested to see where Punisher is going to fall in. Cause I know he's coming back to lead into like, you know, like his one-off movie.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if he like, cause again, you know, Fisk made a comment about him as well, you know?
Yeah,
you know, this guy walking around with a skull on his chest. You know, so it's and what we need to see, and I mean, it has to happen. Like the last episode, last scene, we need to see Tom. We need to see Spider-Man pop by.
Oh man,
he's here now. Fisk is always a big headache to him. Nobody remembers who he is. We haven't really. It's a nice just like, hey, I'm here. I'm still here. Because, I mean, last we saw was the last movie.
Does Daredevil know that he's around?
No, remember the spell is that everybody remembers Spider-Man. Nobody remembers Peter.
No, I'm asking if you think Daredevil and Spider-Man have interacted before. I mean, I know he's not... Peter, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think they know of each other at this point? I mean,
I don't know. Again, because we have that year gap. Obviously, Wilson knows about him because he mentions the spider. Yeah. So obviously, the people know about him in New York. I just a little nod because again, Fisk is one of his. Yeah. I mean, this kind of.
Yeah, I mean, not as big as Daredevil.
Yeah, I'm not saying seeing Peter, Thomas Peter, but I'm just saying see a Spider-Man there. You know, it's if you're going to use this.
Like swing by?
Yeah, just swing by, just pop in, you know, just say that they're there or see them just swinging around or, hey, I was coming around to deal with this asshole, you know, and you got to it first. I don't know. Just it would be really nice to just put those connections together because now they can.
They're in the same universe, so I don't see why not. I don't think it's gonna happen.
No,
though.
No, I don't. I wish so. It's in my wish bucket.
That'd be nice. That'd be a cool thing, but I don't think they're gonna do that.
Yeah, no, that's in my fanboy casting, like that little bucket that we all have. Of like, man, I'd love to see this happen during this run.
There's a lot of things I would like to see. A lot of things, but we're going into like as we're going to like episode two, and we're seeing how Matt's life is now. How he's progressing in life, you know, in this new law firm. You know, he's no longer working for chump change. He's working for a big corporation now. You know, you were saying about Fisk moving up in the world, becoming mayor. So is Matt. Matt's he's no longer that rinky dinky doing pro bono work. He's actually at a big kind of law firm now.
But he still sort of is. I mean, the trial he's working on, he's picking it up pro bono. He told him, don't worry about it. I got you. He's like, I didn't. The guy was like, I don't need you here. I didn't ask for a lawyer. He goes, you don't need to ask for me, and don't worry about the charge. So now he's falling back into his old habits now, probably,
which is going to lead him to eventually putting back the suit back on. Which we saw some stuff.
Well, the end of episode two. I mean, just that it ends with him screaming. You can see that tension of man. He wants to go back and do good again.
He wants to explode. I mean, that scene alone with those cops in that little apartment, again, close, mm-hmm. fighting, and you see how visceral it was. He breaks the dude's elbow, and he just... I think that one cop is dead, the way he landed on his head. There's just no way he's alive. If he's alive, he's going to be like a vegetable. But Matt beat the hell out of them, and the one dude, if you noticed, I think he had like a skull tattoo of the Punisher. Did you see that?
No, I thought that was something else. Was that a skull tattoo?
It was a skull, yeah.
Oh.
I'm wondering if that has to do something with it. Maybe these cops kind of like worship the Punisher. Like, yeah, he gets shit done.
Well, again, it's the reference of things today. You got to remember, the Blue Line group out there was using the Punisher symbol as their thing. And that's why a lot of us were just saying, you guys never read the Punisher. You don't know what he's standing for if you're using that as your symbol. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and then they changed the symbol. It looked really weird. It looked like...
That was a comic book.
And I was like, ooh, I hope they go back to the old one. That new one did not work. It looked looked like a hazmat sign, which just looks stupid. Just don't tinker with things, okay? I just hate that. But again, the choice of music in these episodes, I loved at the ending of the first episode, that song. I'm not sure. Somebody told me it was from Entourage. I didn't watch Entourage too much. But like... all the little musical snippets you hear in there basically make New York City feel alive. Because if I think of that music, I'm like, oh, that's New York City. That's punk. That's a little bit of this. You got a little bit of hip hop in there too. Everything they did, those choices were just so freaking good.
Okay. Yes. The tattoo is Punisher-esque with an American flag on his forehead.
That could be some sort of like a cult.
Well, that we're saying, somebody is like mentioning this online, is this a reference to Nuke, who was previously on Jessica Jones, who could be like a leader of like a side group?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what that was. And Nuke was a comic book guy who was like a white supremacist kind of guy who had like literally had a tattoo of the American flag on his face.
Ooh.
So that could be, but yeah, it's not quite Punisher, but it is Punisher-esque. It's a skull and he's coming down.
Yeah. You know how some people interpret things the wrong way. They're like, yeah, Punisher's for this.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Adding your own little logo to it. It could be that, but, or it could be nothing. It literally could just be.
There's a lot of, talk out there online about what it is. Yeah. I'm looking it up now. Cause again, I just saw it today, and I guess I just didn't. Again, you saw it twice already, so I didn't really get a chance to really get that look.
Yeah. Like I said, it's very skull-esque.
Oh yeah, no, I'm looking at a picture. I just looked it up online, and yeah, that's it, like I said, it looks definitely Punisher-esque, but again, it's got like a American flag on the forehead of the tattoo.
there was another thing in this episode that I like too, Mike, is the we're talking about Fisk, and Fisk being Fisk, the commissioner goes to his office and basically he's going to retire, and he's just sitting there being, you know, Kingpin. He's talking about cheesesteaks. He's like, hey, you know, where's the best cheesesteak place you had? He's like, yeah, whatever. You know, I know how this one place. And he didn't say anything. He just kept eating. And he just flips over the paper. And he's like, yeah, it's a great place. I eat there often. And slips it down. He's like, whatever. Fuck you, Kingpin. That's right. You knew. I was like, okay. He hasn't completely changed.
Oh, no. Like, you even saw during the diner scene. Like, yeah, he was, like, Matt's going at him, and he's playing this coy childlike. And then something flips, and then the Kingpin comes out. And kind of the same thing with that commissioner at the cemetery. Fisk is playing this laid back, almost like I said, it comes off as childlike. Like he's too innocent. He's like, oh, what are you talking about? But then when he gets his chance to rebuttal, it's Kingpin. It's, you know, the douche, you know? Yeah. Especially with that one where he's like, yeah, I like this place, lips it up. And there's a picture of the guy's wife and kid. Wow. At the fucking restaurant, and then puts it down. He's not, doesn't have to say anything. Just, you know, just little nods. And it was it is White Tiger.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking that up.
Bronze Tiger's DC. I'm such a freaking idiot. What's White Tiger? Bronze Tiger's DC.
There were references to Luke Cage, Ant-Man and Wasp, and the Avengers.
Yeah, who are the Avengers? That's what I'd like to know. Where are they at? Even in the I was watching the Thunderbolts trailer, and it just mentioned, like, yeah, you know, the Avengers are not coming back.
Well, again, the Avengers are broken up. I mean, everybody's, you know, obviously it's the only one that's, like, still active as far as we know is Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else, you know, obviously Tony's dead. Spider-Man's trying to redefine himself. Hulk is on his island. With at the tiki bar
with his son.
Yeah, you know, so yeah, it's like, yeah, they're all kind of broken up, but yeah, no, they're like, yeah, there are references. You have, like, if you look at the New York, you'll see the Rogers and musical on there. You'll see the nightclub Harlem's Paradise, which is, that's where the Luke, that was featured with Luke Cage. You do see the Pim Van Dyne Foundation in there as well. And then you do, which is really funny, one of the soft drinks you'll see in there is Pingo Deuce, which was the our
dose. The Hulk?
Yes, from the Incredible Hulk. When fucking Hulk. Yeah.
That was the one that Stan Lee drank it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that, and you can also see that in Ant-Man, like a version of that in Ant-Man. And there's like a diet version of it in the X-Men 97. Yeah, so there's, like, little ones in there, so.
So those two episodes end. And how are you feeling going into episode 3? What do you think so far?
Again, like, I'm still right. Like I said, one caught me. Two kind of didn't really fulfill. But, again, that's sort of the rhythm of the MCU when it comes to their streaming services and shows. A lot, you get hit. Like, I mean, if you remember, like, the first time we watched, watching Wanda, first episode hit, second one was like, well, okay, what are we doing with this? And the third one was kind of, okay, where were you doing? Oh, I think that's when we got, like, a little, like, flashback or we had an Easter egg. So it's like they build. And then, of course, you know, usually around the sixth one is when they start, you know, just hammering you.
Yeah. They go full throttle after. But I like what I see so far.
Yeah, I was thinking of just waiting until it was all out, but then I was like, you know what? Now I'm going to start hopping on this, making sure, you know, watching it every week, because I'm looking forward to what they're going to accomplish and see what they're going to, who they're going to bring in and how they're going to bring people in.
Oh, they're off to a good start. Like, to me, like, as an old Netflix guy who loved those series, they captured everything I want, and they added some more things to it, which I like too. Like, we talked about the music. It seems bigger too, a lot bigger than the Netflix show. Obviously, it's Disney. You got more money, so you got more, you know, more things to play with. And the intros of the new characters were kind of cool. I kind of miss, like, you know, not having Foggy and Karen. But it is called Born Again.
But you got to remember, we do have Foggy in a way. Matt takes something everywhere he goes, and it's a symbol of something, and we haven't seen him. He's going to get rid of it eventually, and that's going to be his turning point. Foggy's card or pamphlet from his funeral. Matt carries that everywhere he goes. It's like you said, we saw him, you know, that morning cooking eggs. What did you see there? His phone, his keys,
the pamphlet.
Yeah, the memory pamphlet from Foggy's funeral. Second episode, same thing. You see him getting ready to leave. Bam, in his pocket. Again, being blind, he's you know, touch, and this is what holds Foggy, because you know, you gotta remember Foggy walked him around everywhere.
Foggy was like his conscience to me. I think they both were. They were kind of like two different sides of Matt's conscience, but I think Foggy was more like his heart.
Well,
like,
they were friends longer. He was much closer, you know. So yeah, that's
like a brother to him.
Yeah, and so like him carrying, again, he's still carrying Foggy, and you're visually seeing it as he's doing it, and there we will have a moment where he's going to get rid of it, burn it. Do something to memorize it or memorialize it, and that I think is going to be our turning point.
And then he's going to put back on.
I don't know if it's put. I think it might be before or after he puts the suit on, but I think it's going to be the moment he lets Foggy go. Because, like I said, right now, Foggy's holding him back. I mean, to be honest, you know, that memory is what's holding him back right now.
Well, he even said it when he was talking to Karen. He was like, you know, she's like, "Do you anything with Daredevil?" And he's like, "No, never again." You know. You know what happened? It's just not even in my mind. I'm doing things the right way now. He's doing the ways of Foggy. Like you said, he's doing Foggy's ways, like letting the legal system work through. I don't need to go out there and beat people up. But I think that pamphlet, I think, is going to lead him to putting the suit back on. Like you said, I think he's going to throw it away. He's going to burn it. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it, something in effigy with that being done. Or somebody else destroys it. You know, somebody else realizes it. It, you know, maybe Punisher grabs it and goes, you need to get rid of this. And
I just thought of something. What if we get like towards like, let's say episode, how many episodes, like 9 this season?
I think usually they do 8.
I think it's one more. I'm not sure. I mean, I could be wrong if you want to check that out, but I'm guessing by episode 5, you're going to see like the mural, like the guy Muse, who's like the serial killer, like paint shit. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, we haven't gotten much into who that is, have we? Because I don't think he's...
No, did you see the mural at the end where he's painting like the Fisk mural? That's supposed to be his intro.
Like, okay. I was like, did I miss something? Because I don't remember seeing this guy before.
I think what you're going to see, I think the therapist is going to bite it.
Yeah.
Matt's going to find like the mural, and it's going to be the mural painted of the therapist. And I think it's going to be, you'll see Foggy's letter on that mural. I think one way or another, Muse is going to get that letter. I don't know how. Maybe Matt drops it or something and he finds it, but I think he's going to put that up there. I think that's the thing that's going to drive him over the edge. Then he'll don the suit. It's kind of dark, but I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. 9 episodes. So we've got the guy that directed this, the second episode. He's going to direct the third episode.
Good.
And it looks like they do it in chunks, because you got Michael Kusta, who did it to is doing 2 and 3. Notchmanov, he's doing 4 and 5. David Boyd is doing 6 and 7, and then the directors are for episode 1. There was Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson. They directed 1. They direct the last 2, which is really good that they bring it. Yeah, they bring.
I like that.
And also the writer for episode 1. They return. He returns again with a co-writer for 8 and 9. So basically, the team that did 1 returns for the last 2 episodes to close it out.
I got a feeling that some of the writers that they have on this show are from the old show. I think that's what they did. I don't know why I have that feeling. Maybe not all of them, but I would say like maybe 2 or 3.
He is the guy that wrote the first one. He's actually the showrunner for Born Again, but he did he was producer and writer on Punisher.
What?
But not Daredevil.
Well, he was in that world though, so it's
He was still in that world. The guy that's doing did the second one and the third one, 6 Feet Under, Dexter, Blue Bloods. So he's got that.
And a Dexter. I just finished Dexter. So good.
Yeah, that's what I was like when I saw that. I was like, oh, yeah.
No wonder I like it.
I'm just trying to see who else is on here that got a Walking Dead writer.
Ugh. Not to make fun of the Walking Dead, but, you know, there's a reason that on the...
Well, again, just a writer for the show. Doesn't mean it, and, you know, yeah.
I'm just saying in general, when I think of Walking Dead, and I think how long we've been doing this, how many times have we talked about the Walking Dead? Like, I could name it on maybe a couple digits.
True, yeah. I was never a fan of it because I was never a fan of like zombies to begin with. I mean, I like them like and sprinkled in on my horror movies, but as like a protagonist or an antagonist, sorry, that like is threatening. Well, walk faster. I mean, unless they're World War Z zombies, just walk faster.
They're no longer threatening. Yeah. Either. It's like not some movies, they make them like heroes and they're talking.
They never were threatening. Even like the great ones from the 80s, you know, even the original Walking Dead, all of those original ones, they were great because of the style of the movie and other things that happened in the movie. But the zombies were never the threat to me. I was like, they were never like, oh no, just move to the side.
They're always silly. They just like you just said, just run faster, dude. Like they're not gonna catch you.
I love it. Did you ever see the Key and Peele the episode where it's the racist zombies?
Yes, I saw that pop on one of my TikToks.
It's like,
and I'm watching. It's like, yeah, they're gonna get us, and they just keep passing them. I was like, what's wrong?
They lock the door. That's some racist shit. But I mean, it's kind of like because they were so slow, and they're like, "What do we do? We're just gonna walk then. Never mind." But yeah, like I said, I never really got into Walking Dead, and then I heard that the Walking Dead changed drastically from the comics to that, you know, from the actual story, and it like took a whole like detour. So I just never got. And maybe I was like you with when you did your watch along for Lord of the Rings, sorry, Game of Thrones. You were late to the game because everybody was into it as well. I'm like, not interested.
You've known me long enough that that's what I tend to do.
Yeah, that's your trigger. It's
popular.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. Like, just so you guys know, Jeff just started watching. Like, not just. I'm sorry about 4 months ago. Started watching Dexter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
There you go. There you go. Literally, I literally just like one day at night. I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm like, what haven't I watched that was really popular? Oh, Dexter. Let me go watch this. Watch the first episode. Then I just kept marathoning. I just kept going. Like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, no wonder. No wonder everybody was talking about it a decade ago.
It's just when it's out at the moment, I won't watch it. It's just like, oh, well, everybody loves this show. Well, then I don't want to watch. Like, there's a ton of them going on right now. Like, I think Paradise, Severance. I don't watch it. No desire to. Maybe in years when it's like it's over, I'll watch it, but I'm not gonna watch it.
Oh yeah, there's certain shows I'll binge watch. Yeah, no, there's certain ones like as soon as it's done, then I'll chill out and I'll watch. But there are others that I really want, like Reacher right now. You know, I'm just all on board with Reacher. I mean, just
Reacher's good. I mean, I read.
I don't care what Alan does. He's always right there.
Hey man, he's part of the DC world.
Yep. Then we got to watch. God damn it! I got to get caught up with the boys. I'm behind on that, especially when now that we're now we're getting the Holy Trinity back from Supernatural.
Season. Yeah.
I love it. Did you see that video, or did I send you that video where it was?
Yeah. All three of them. And yeah. You see, like Jared with like the Impala in the background. They're like, oh my god, they're gonna do another season of Supernatural.
We got it. Get cast ready. It's like, yeah, I'm ready. What are we doing?
I wonder if they're gonna have big roles. They're probably not. Maybe just gonna be one and dones.
Maybe no. I think no. With them coming in, and again, I mean, Kripke's running it. Is he still showrunner for the boys?
Yeah.
So yeah, no. He's gonna bring them in and do something, you know. But again, it's not gonna be what we think. They're probably not gonna be working together, you know. Probably at best, I would love to see them like against each other.
Dude, yeah. I'm just gonna say you have to have all of them in one scene. You have to.
Yeah.
You got to make that happen.
And just an Impala driving by in the background. Yeah. Just something. Just a nod to everybody like that knows, like, yeah, okay.
If you start like on some used parking lot, you see like one is for sale or like out of commission or something. It's like a little nod. That'd be nice. But like you said, Crispy is in charge of it, so maybe.
Yeah. So guys, what we're going to do, like I said, since we're getting back, we're going to start doing this again once a week. But we're also going to try different things as well. We're going to try movies as well, because that's kind of what I think what kind of burnt us out is we were trying to do everything. And so we were doing this show, we were doing our midnight movies. We definitely got burnt out, but we're going to try to add movies into this podcast. So if you do click the link and, you know, subscribe, it's not just this. We're going to throw a movie here and there, usually to try to go along with maybe what we've been talking about that month or a recent show or something.
That's the plan. That's going to be the plan so far. Like for instance, with Rebirth Month, I can't think of any Rebirth movies off the top of my head, but it'll be along those lines. Like maybe a Resurrection movie, like from a dead franchise. Like I was thinking, like what killed one franchise and like led the birth to another? Like the only movie I could think of is Batman and Robin killed Batman. Batman Begins, Rose Batman. But we already did that one. So no, actually we haven't done that one. We did The Dark Knight and the old show.
We'll have to look. I'll have to dig through the archives and see.
But yeah. That's the idea. That's the idea. So, stuff like that and musical albums as well, which I can't wait.
Yeah, Jeff and I have been talking for years about doing musical shows. So we thought this is the best way to finally just get that out of our system. He and I are both like massive, massive music fans, and especially like I think that was probably one of the first things that you and I like got like you know a friendship over was like soundtracks.
Oh yeah, that's not even a question. We could be on soundtracks to the end of time.
Yeah,
like, that's like the one thing we have in common is like soundtracks. Like, remember they were so good back in the day. You'll give me a couple, and I was like, yeah, what about this one? And then, soundtracks, I could go on forever, ever.
Yeah, I think, about a month ago, you were driving home. You're like, I need a soundtrack to listen to. I was like, Judgment Day.
Yeah. And that was a good one. I popped it. I was like, ooh. To Live and Die in L.A. is another good one I found.
Yep.
Oh.
So that's our plan going forward. We may miss a show here and there. Life is coming up. You know, just pop up every once in a while. But for the most part, that's our plan is to go forward.
Yeah, I got some other things in the works too, like the movie stuff, and I'm gonna do something with Teleparty. I've been working with that, so I might do something on. I'm thinking about doing something on Fridays. Basically, I pop in a movie. You guys join in the chat, and we can chit chat. We'll be there, so it'll just be like one movie maybe once every 2 weeks. I don't know. It's just preliminary. I'm just thinking out loud.
But. So if you guys still have our old links, we believe they're still active. We're going to reactivate them all. And then of course our Facebook page is still out there. So we're going to clean that one up a little bit and get more attentive there. But if you guys are looking for anything, you can find us there.
All right. So let's get out of here, sir.
All right. You have a good evening, folks. See ya.